So what you're going to do with that one more day, linked with another 364, and those are the kinds of things we think about, whether we make formal New Year's resolutions or not. When we flip the calendar page on a new year, we start thinking about fresh beginnings and doing life differently. And that's good, because it's not just the calendar that's new for us. We're in a new place. And our scripture today is in the prophet Jeremiah, who was writing to the people of God, who were also in a new place. It's in Jeremiah 29. We'll begin reading at verse 1. Let's pray together before we read God's word. Lord, could it be that your word written through the prophet Jeremiah all those centuries ago could be your word for us? We believe it is. We've seen how you've done it before, how you take the word you inspired in one place and time, and by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, bring your truth home through that word to us. We're eager to see how you would do so this day. We need to hear from you, Lord. Speak. And we pray in the name of the living word, our Lord Jesus. Amen. Jeremiah 29, beginning at verse 1. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. And picking up in verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let the prophets and the diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. I will let you find me, says the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I have sent you into exile. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For 10 years, my family and I had the privilege of serving in a church in North Texas, in Wichita Falls. In that city is located an Air Force base, which some of you, if you were in the Air Force, probably passed through at one point, Shepherd Air Force Base. It's a training base. They train techs. They train pilots. So the people who are stationed there are there for only 2 or 3 years, and then they're sent on to their next station. We typically had several Air Force families in the church where I served. And from the first day that they came, we knew that they wouldn't be there for very long. And they knew that as well. And it was interesting to me to see how they dealt with that. Some of the Air Force families dealt with that by just staying at the edge of the church's life. They were cordial, but they were distant. And as I talked with them, I learned that it wasn't just the church, it was sort of their general approach to coming in and out of community so rapidly. They would come in and connect where they had to, but they would dull the pain of having to leave by not connecting too deeply. And that meant they had a lot of acquaintances, but not many heart-to-heart friends other than in the Air Force itself. But not all the Air Force families took that tack. There were others who came and knew that they wouldn't be there long, so they decided, we're going to dive in immediately and connect in every way we can. And they would find their spot and take hold. And a lot of times they were elected as elders in our church. They dove right in, and we knew they wouldn't be there long. We wanted to make use of their talents. And they built friendships, and after 3 years they moved, and they cried, and we cried. Now, I ask you, who had the better strategy? Those that kept their distance and avoided the pain, or those who connected and had their hearts broken every 3 years? Well, the prophet Jeremiah would say it was the latter, because he's very clear that wherever the Lord puts us, He wants us to be rooted, because it's only when we put down roots that we have the possibility of being used by Him to bear fruit. Now, it's a little bit hard to parachute into the middle of a book like Jeremiah and know what's going on, because he wrote over the span of many years and lots of different things happened. So let me set the context for you here in chapter 29. If you're a student of the Old Testament and have read Jeremiah, you'll know that most of what he writes will just flat singe your eyebrows when you read it. Jeremiah majored in hellfire and brimstone. Page after page of warning the people that if you don't repent, if you don't change the way you're living, God is going to judge you. And so he read them the riot act for their idolatry and for abusing the poor and for ignoring his commandments over and over. Jeremiah said, this is coming to an end if you don't change. And he was right. It came to an end. They did not change, and God judged them. The Babylonians came and conquered Jerusalem and carried most of the citizens of Jerusalem off into exile. Jeremiah was writing to those exiles who were now in Babylon. He's still back in Jerusalem, and he's writing to Babylon, to the exiles, and here's what he could have said. He could have said, you're a bunch of idiots. I told you you were going to blow it, and sure enough, you did, and all is lost. But that's not how it reads, is it? Chapter 29 has a very different tone. And he writes to the exiles and says, okay, you blew it. But God has not. He's not blown it. And God is at work even in this season of judgment. There is hope. So put down roots. Put down roots even there in Babylon. Build houses, plant gardens, make friends, marry, work to make Babylon a better place. You didn't choose to go there, but you're there. So work to make it a better place and see what God does with this season in your lives. Now we read that and we're charmed by this. We love it. We like this hopeful word spoken into difficult circumstances, and we resonate very quickly with that. Not so the exiles. I mean, think how this was for them. They've been told to put down roots, that God wants to bear fruit through them. This is a word of hope. They need a word of hope, but it's hard to hear. They're in a strange place. All of their lives, they've lived in the mountainous, lovely terrain of the Holy Land, and specifically in the beautiful city of Jerusalem. And in the center of the beautiful city was this magnificent temple built by Solomon, testifying to the Lord's grandeur. It's where they worshiped. Now, mind you, they'd also been worshiping idols, but it sure was near and dear to them to have that temple there. And they knew that the Lord's presence was there, and somehow that was securing to them. And it became the pole by which they oriented their existence. And that was gone. And they had lost their compass. And they were 700 miles away in Babylon. Babylon is in what we call today Iraq, lower Iraq. Now understand, this was in the days before photos. None of the people of Jerusalem had ever seen Iraq, save just a few traders who'd been back and forth. And so they go from this mountainous, dry terrain with its own loveliness to this flat river basin, and the only contours they can see are sand dunes, and it's ugly and it's humid. And there's no temple of the Lord, just these weird-looking pagan shrines. And the people here talk funny. And you can't find any good food. And you know how it is. So they just wanted to go home. they desperately wanted to somehow get back to where they'd been and back to life's last season and pick up where they left off. You know that drill. You can imagine those conversations because in one way or another, you've lived them yourself. Not that you've been to Babylon itself or maybe even had to live somewhere you didn't want to live. But all of us get to those places that are foreign to us, and we struggle with how we're going to live there and make life work for ourselves in that new place. God spoke to the people there and said, "The Lord is in this, and I want you to put down roots. There is hope." But it's a bit of a struggle. I remember the struggle in our own family's life when I mentioned Wichita Falls a little bit ago. When we first went there to interview, it was in February. We drove up from Austin to Wichita Falls. If you know Northwest Texas, you'll know that it's not a garden spot, not even in the spring. And this was February. So think brown and flat and dry. And the landscape, really the only thing you can see is barbed wire and oil pump jacks. And we loved the people there. They were wonderful people, but I remember driving back to Austin with Sarah talking about this. Was this God's place for us? And it was so ugly that we kept saying, I don't know if this could ever feel like home. Well, God called us there, and it did feel like home, but it sure wasn't because of the scenery. Now, maybe you've been in a place like that, where you suddenly were pulled up out of one place where you felt at home, and you're put down in a new place, and when you find yourself there, you have to decide, am I going to invest myself in this place or not? And it's not just moves. Because you can stay in the same place your whole life, and changes come to you. Even if you're in the house you grew up in. You were born into a world with a big change. Suddenly evicted from the comfort of mama's womb into this cold, bright place, and you didn't know where you were. And then that experience was repeated over and over throughout the course of your life. You got to the age of 5, and you were used to the way life worked at home, and mom and dad shuffled you off to the school. Different season. And that goes on for a number of years, and you get used to how life works as a student, and then you come out the top, you graduate, and oh dear, that's gone. Can't go back. Got to work, got to get a job. And a lot of times that entails moving from one place to the other. And then that goes on for a long season, and retirement comes. And the familiarity of the working life, gosh, you're in a new place again all of a sudden. So is the course of our lives, one job to the next. Health changes come, and suddenly we're in a different place than we were the day before. And through it all, the family changes. People come and they go in our family. The people around the table are not the same as they were in a previous season. So whether you change spaces or not, the space around you changes, and we find ourselves exiled into life's next season. And we'd like to think that we could grab up a big armload of the familiar to carry with us into that next place, but tell the truth, we're like those exiles. Just about the only thing we can take with us is the clothes on our back. And so we show up in this new place trying to figure out where we are and sort out how we're going to live here. And we resent it a bit. And we're not sure we'd like to put down roots even if we could. And in that place, Jeremiah writes to us and says, make yourself at home. You're in a new place now, and I want you to put down roots. Because that's the only way to live. Because the plain truth is, you're not going back to Jerusalem. You're here now, and if you're going to live well, it's going to be here. And when you look through this letter that Jeremiah sent, I think you can describe two essentials that Jeremiah gave to these exiles for their life in Babylon. The first is realism. One of the reasons that Jeremiah wrote them when he did is that he'd gotten word that some false prophets were speaking fantasy to the exiles in Babylon, telling them that they would soon be going home to Jerusalem. And there actually was some political upheaval in Babylon at that time that lent some credence to their claims. And so the people started thinking, well, maybe Babylon is going to fold and we'll get to go home and life will return to what it once was. And so Jeremiah decided that they needed a word of realism about where they were now. And so he wrote and says, you know, it's no accident that you're in Babylon. God himself brought you there, and no, you're not going home next week. You're going to be there 70 years. So this is not complicated. Jeremiah is saying, if you're going to live well, you've got to live where you are, not where you're not. I mean, do we have to say that? Well, apparently so. Jeremiah had to say it to the exiles, and the Word of God says it to us. Even though it's obvious, it has to be spoken. And think about it. How much of our time and energy do we spend pining away for that which is no more and that which is not yet? We spend a lot of our time wishing that we were somewhere else. And so the word of the Lord to the exiles is His word to us. You're here now. You're going to be here for a while. So build, plant, connect, multiply, be rooted where you are, not where you're not. So His first word to them was a word of realism. And that was followed by a second word. That was a word of hope. He said, now that you're there and getting used to it, I want you to know that the Lord has a plan for you. Surely He has a plan. Plans for your welfare and not for harm. To give you a future with hope. Now, how many of you have memorized that verse? Bunches of us have memorized that verse. We put it in needle points. We post it on our Facebook pages. It's a dear verse to us because it speaks such a bright word about God's plan in our lives. And it stands alone. It's a good and valid promise on its own. But we lose a lot of that promise's power when we forget the circumstances of the people to whom God first spoke it. I mean, they're in a foreign land. They're disoriented. They're distraught. And the very notion that God had a good plan for them in that place, well, that was huge. And they had a hard time believing it. That's a big part of the promise's power. And we get to that place too, where the Lord is speaking hope to us in the place that we didn't choose to be. So here the Lord's plan for you in 2015, a year in which you will find yourself in multiple places that you did not choose, that are different from where you've been. Here's His plan. I have a plan for you. Your life is not happenstance. Even when you find yourself exiled to a season of life that you did not choose, this is part of my good plan for you. You have a future with a hope, so take heart. Word of realism, word of hope. And the Lord's intent is that we would sink down roots because He wants us to bear fruit, even in this place. Now, so far we're interpreting this as we usually do in terms of our personal lives. When we memorize this verse, we're typically thinking of our lives. The Lord says, I have a good plan for you. And we think, me. He's got a plan for me. And that's valid, but that's not what Jeremiah meant. Jeremiah was writing to a people, to a whole nation of people, and he's thinking in terms of them as God's people together and not just as individuals. And the Lord has that same word for us, because we as a community of faith are in a different place than we once were. It happens to us individually. We find ourselves in new and different places, but it's also happened to us in this season as a Christian community. I mean, have you noticed? In the last decade in particular, we as a Christian community are in a different place. We still have the same address. You can send a letter to 5200 Grove Avenue And it'll come to St. Giles. We've not moved physically, but we're in a different place. And by that, I mean that the values which have undergirded us as Jesus' followers have largely been replaced by values that are foreign to us as followers of Jesus. We got used to living in Jerusalem with the values that undergirded us in serving the Lord, and now we're finding ourselves increasingly living in Babylon with values that subvert the intention to serve the Lord. So if we want to live faithful biblical lives, rather than fitting in as we once did, now we stand out. And sometimes it's awkward and painful, just like the people of Jerusalem found themselves the odd ducks in Babylon. They're the exiles. They dress differently. They talk differently. They have different diet, different beliefs. They were different. And trying to figure out how to live in a place that was different when they had lived in a familiar place, Jerusalem, their whole lives. Now, this is a lot of where we are now as Christian people in the United States in 2015. This is much, much more than I can work through with you in a single sermon or a class. So I'm actually starting this year both preaching and teaching with this focus. What it means to serve Jesus in Richmond, Virginia in 2015. It's not the same that it meant to serve Jesus here in 1990 or 2000. We're in a different place. So what works? That's what we're going to be asking ourselves. And we're going to be looking at various passages relevant to this question, like this passage in Jeremiah 29, a letter to some exiles, trying to figure out what to do in a new place. Next week, we'll look in 1 Peter. Each week, we're going to hear this consistent word of the Lord, a word of realism, a word of hope, a word that invites us to put down roots where we are. Not somewhere else, but where we are, because He intends for us to bear fruit for the kingdom where we are. So, 2015. You flip the calendar page, you're in a new place. What will you do? You have some decisions to make about that. We as a Christian community are in a new place. We have some decisions to make about how we're going to live faithfully in this place. Will you adopt the strategy of my Air Force friends who held back, who just kind of lived at the edge, who didn't want to engage because it was just difficult and unfamiliar and or will you dive in and be in this place where God has put you, sinking down roots, that He can bring through you the fruit that points to the kingdom? Jeremiah has an opinion about that, and he's speaking for the Lord. And he says, I want you to put down roots where you are. I want to bear fruit through you. You're going to be there for a while, and I've got a plan for you. A plan for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with a hope. Do so, and you will live well for Jesus in 2015. And God will be glorified, and somewhat through us and somewhat in spite of us, fruit will be born for the kingdom. That's a good deal. Now let's pray. Lord, we give thanks that we can count on your wisdom guiding us in life, knowing that it's not random that we are where we are. You've put us here for a purpose, and it's a good purpose, and one which gives us hope in which to live. Thank you, Lord, for reigning over our lives. Thank you that your sovereign ways are loving ways as well. And we're eager to see what you have for us in this year. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.